hymn this morning. Yes, indeed. Let's stand and open up to hymn 111. Hymn 111 for our final hymn prior to the message. I love the words of this hymn because it really says it all. Fanny Crosby, of course. Praise Him. Amen? That's why we're here today, to praise Him. We're going to sing for all three. Glory to God. Hymn 111. I'm so glad we can praise Him openly, publicly, freely. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, oh, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Light the shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long.
Amen.
Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died.
Yes!
He a rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus the Lord of sorrows. Love abounded, wonderful, deep and strong.
Oh yeah!
Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, heavenly portals, aloud with hosanna sing. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming, over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong.
Yes!
Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. Please be seated, church.
Oh, yes, indeed. We're praising Him this morning. I love it. Oh, well, we'll sing again. But at this time, let's grab our Bibles. Oh, boy, folks. I tell you, the world is just gone off the deep end. The news this week with all of the fighting and warring and protesting and rioting, and now the ISIS terrorists are advancing over there in Syria and Iraq, taking town by town by town. They're heading for the capital, Baghdad, and for some strange reason the White House sits back and does nothing. I don't know. But let's open up our Bibles this morning. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I know Jesus in these days, boy. I'm glad I know Jesus Christ, because it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better, according to the Bible. Ezekiel, this morning, church, the book of Ezekiel, open up to chapter 37. I have a message this morning that the world needs, because it has to do with life from the dead. Amen? The world needs life from their spiritual death. And I'm so glad I know who's got it to give to them, if they only will. In Ezekiel chapter 37, folks, I'm glad we're taping this morning. I want more folks to hear this. Ezekiel is in Babylon. He's proclaiming God's word to the exiled captives of Israel in Babylon. They're there for 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar, you know the story. Because of their idolatry, God sent them into captivity. God will not tolerate idolatry in His children's lives. We have three sets of prophets in the Bible. We have what we call pre-exilic prophets, those who prophesied before the exile to Babylon. Then we have exilic prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Those are prophets who prophesied during the exile. Then we have post-exilic prophets like Haggai and Malachi and those guys. So Ezekiel is an exilic prophet. He is preaching during the exile in Babylon to the captive people of Jerusalem. And stand with me, please, for the reading of God's holy word this morning. And I want to speak to you a message I've entitled Life from the Dead. Life from the Dead. Look with me in Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and though they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Beloved, I want to preach to you this morning on life from the dead. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the passage set before us this morning. Lord, how I thank you for the glory of the truth contained herein. Lord, how I thank you that these dry and dead bones could live again, if according to the word of the Lord. Father, we are surrounded by dead, dry bones in this world today. And oh God, they need the life of the breath of the living God. And only Jesus can give it, Father. We pray that you would use each and every one of us to bring life to the dead. Oh Lord, it's the only answer in this world today. As we see multitudes perishing in their sins, our hearts are burdened as your children, Lord. We want them to know the joyful sound of eternal life. We want them to know the glories of the Son of God as we do. We want them to have that peace and that comfort in their lives by the Holy Spirit. And Father, there's only one way to get it, and that is through thy Son. Lord, help us to lift Jesus higher in these last days. Lord, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And Father, help us to lift you in our lives. Help us, dear Lord, to hide behind thy cross, to be used by thy precious Spirit, and to preach and teach thy holy word to those who need you. We'll thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do through this message. Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, beloved, I want you to get the picture of what is happening here this morning in the 37th of Ezekiel. Ezekiel the prophet is at the river Chebar in Babylon. He's the prophet of the exile. The year is 586 BC, and God has been giving Ezekiel some incredible visions of what would take place in future years. But here, in chapter 37, we have the vision of the dry bones. This text has three specific applications: doctrinal, spiritual, and historical. Now, historically, Of course, it applies to the Israelites themselves, who were as dead men down in Babylon. But God would raise them up again and put them in their own land. Then we have the doctrinal application, which applies to a literal, physical, visible resurrection of all people, of all ages, at the last day. Whether they're saved or lost, they will be raised from the dead to stand before Jesus Christ. The spiritual application, which I want to use this morning, applies to all those who experience regeneration, new birth, that is life from the dead. Amen? And folks, using the spiritual application of this passage, I want to preach to you a message I've entitled Life from the Dead. First of all, I have a number of things to show you this morning. First, notice how this vision came. In verse number 1, how did the vision come to the prophet? We read in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Time out, church. If you're ever going to hear from God, His hand must be upon you. Amen? You don't want to be far away from God. You want to be real close that His hand is on you. And He says, and He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. I like that. Ezekiel says, I wasn't in the flesh. I wasn't doing my own thing. I was in the Spirit of the Lord when I got this vision. If you, now, beloved, listen to me this morning. You've got to be in the Spirit of the Lord. You've got to be walking in the Spirit. You've got to be operating under the control of the Spirit. You've got to be led by the Spirit if you want to get vision from God. Amen? And listen, folks. He says, I was in the Spirit of the Lord when He set me down in the midst of the valley full of bones. Now, beloved, listen very carefully. Ezekiel specifically says that he was in the Spirit. In order to see things as God sees them, we must be in the Spirit. Amen? We must have Holy Ghost eyes, as I say. We must be able to see as God sees. You know, these gals going down to Boston Commons today, and that is just awesome. Our missionaries to New England here, Laura and Catherine, they will see a bunch of dry bones because they've got eyes to see them for the way they really are. And folks, we have to develop these eyes of the Lord that we see folks for how their true condition actually is. Here is the beauty of salvation, that God's Spirit begins to move you. God's Spirit begins to work through you. Look in chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Look at verse 26. God says, 25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Beloved, listen very carefully to me this morning. The only reason you're in church today, the only reason you want to give out a gospel tract today, the only reason you're serving Jesus Christ is because His Spirit is within you. Glory to God. Ezekiel said, I was in the Spirit of the Lord, and He took me to a valley full of bones. Oh, beloved, I'm so glad this morning. There's only one reason why we're here. It's because of the fact that when we got saved, God gave us something so special, you can't put a price tag on it. Amen? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the Spirit of God has so many things that He desires to show us. Amen? He has so many things that He desires to do through our lives if we're only willing. He'll do the work if we only yield to His leading. Beloved, listen very carefully. Paul said, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit desires to reveal to you and I the deep things of God. The things that will cause us to get up and go for Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm afraid, beloved, that in the Church of Jesus Christ today, we got a bunch of saved folks, but they're not hearing from the Spirit of God. They're not living under the control and guidance and direction of the Spirit of God. D.L. Moody, in his autobiography, tells of the day he was filled with the Spirit of God. He said, I was in New York preaching the revival. And I went out in the morning for my private time with the Lord, just walking the streets of New York and praying for the poor lost souls. And he said, suddenly the Holy Spirit struck me like never before. He said, I began to weep at an intersection, and there were Holy Ghost tears. And he said, I was so filled with the Spirit of God, I had to ask him to stay his hand. D.L. Moody. He said, I went on preaching revivals all over America. But he said, my messages were the same. The only difference was that hundreds and thousands of souls came to Jesus Christ. And he said, not because of D.L. Moody, because of the Spirit of God. That's what we need. Ezekiel said, I was in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, how did Ezekiel's vision come? It came in and by the Spirit. But something else this morning. Notice what this vision was, beloved. Notice what this vision was. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, look at it, behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. What this vision was, Ezekiel opens his eyes and beholds a most strange sight. He's sitting in a deep valley. It's full of skeletons. But actually, they're not even skeletons. They're just scattered bones. Here and there. Beloved, this is how God sees this lost world. They are a massive valley of death. Did you hear what I said? They're breathing, they're walking, they're talking, but they're dead. It's like you go down to the cemetery and you got a bunch of dead people buried 6 feet under. That's how God sees the lost of this world, folks. They have no life, but you do. You do. Amen. And God wants to impart life to them through you and through me. Wow! What an awesome responsibility that is. Oh, beloved, three things I see concerning these dead bones. First, notice there were very many. Verse 2, he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that we are surrounded with dead bones. You go to Walmart and you're rubbing shoulders with the dead bones. You go down to the park, you got dead bones. You go to work, you go to school, wherever it is you go. This world is full of very many dead bones, and they need life from Jesus Christ. We're living in a world that is full of spiritual death. It doesn't matter where you live or where you go, you'll run into them. There's many, very many. Something else concerning this vision. Not only were there very many, but they were very dry. Look at verse 2. And behold, there were very many in the open field, and lo, they were very dry. Even the marrow was dried up out of the midst of the bones. Listen, folks, the indication here is that these dead bones had been in this condition for a very long time. Are you listening? Oh, folks, I spent 27 years of my... I'm 57 years old. I spent 27 years, almost 28 years of my life without Jesus Christ. I was dead. I was dead. But one day he reached down his hand and he gave me life. Folks, I've known people that have gone 30, 40, 50, 60 years and gotten saved. I know one that was almost 90 that got saved in Bering, Maine. Amen. His wife prayed for him for 50 years to get saved. Guess what? He hit the altar. What's up? He got saved. Why? He had been in that condition for a very long time. Most people that get saved had been in a very dead situation for a long time. Wow. Look at that. Verse 2. They were very dry. And thirdly, concerning this vision, not only were they very many, not only were they very dry, but they were very near the prophet. Look at verse 2. And verse 2, and he caused me to pass by them round about. Did you get the picture there? Ezekiel says, the Lord made me walk and rub shoulders with them. The bones. You know what God's going to do? God is going to bring you very near to those dead bones. God is going to send you to them with a message of hope. Amen? God is going to bring you to the dead bones. He's going to bring them near to you. Sometimes you don't even have to go looking for them. The Lord just brings them to you. And he says, he caused me to pass by them round about. The Lord will cause you to pass by lost soul after lost soul after lost soul in your life. And he wants you to tell them the love, the story of the gospel, glory to God. Ezekiel, listen to me. Ezekiel could have bowed down and picked up these dead bones. You know that? He was so close to them, he could touch them. He could build a skeleton out of them. Why? Because they were very near. They're very near you today, child of God. The question is, do you have eyes to see them and ears to hear their spiritual need? Long ago, a young chaplain came to Charles Spurgeon and said, "Mr. Spurgeon, I don't think I've got what it takes to be a preacher. I was recently invited to speak at a secular college campus, but when I gave an invitation, nobody came. They acted as if I wasn't even there." Spurgeon turned to the young preacher and said, "Son, the problem is not you. It's the people you were preaching to. They're dead." He says, they're dead. It's like going down to the cemetery and preaching to them and expecting someone to come up out of the ground. Not happening, because they're dead. They need spiritual life. Oh, what was this vision? It was a vision full of dead bones. But something else this morning, quickly. Thirdly, notice the testing question. Verse 3. The testing question. "And he," the Lord, "said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" Can these bones live? Beloved, the church, the Lord is asking us this morning. When we see the lost, when we come in contact with those who don't know Jesus, and they're drunk, they're on drugs, they're in sexual promiscuity, they're in all kinds of wickedness, and he says, "Can these bones live?" Do you think, Timmy, that your neighbor, Mo, can come to Jesus Christ? Do you believe that I can give him life? The question this morning is a testing one. Do we have faith to believe that God is able? Look at it. Look at verse 3. "He said unto me, Son of man." Now, time out, church. Did God know the answer to the question? Yeah. Of course he's God. He's testing the prophet. If he had faith to believe, God would do it. Do you believe that these bones could live? It's a tough question. Because he looks and he sees there's no skin on them. There's nothing. No flesh, no heart, just bones. But who's asking the question? The miracle worker. The Lord, amen? Church, listen to this. This question can only be heard by those who have eyes have been opened to see the awful need of spiritual life in the lost. The blind would answer this question, "What bones, Lord? I don't see any bones." Right? The spiritually blind, they don't see the true condition of the lost and of their own hearts. "I just see normal people walking around. Lord, what are you talking about?" And now think of the responsibility that rested upon this prophet. He had to preach to those bones. If they were ever going to live, he had to give them the word. Right? Now, let me take it one step further. Think of the awesome responsibility, church, that you and I have. If those bones out there in Hooksett, in Manchester, in Methuen, in Boston, are going to live, we have to give them the word of the Lord. It's the only hope they have. It's the only way they can escape eternal damnation. He's asking you this morning, dear one, can this one or that one come to life? Can that lost relative receive newness of life? Can that work associate become saved? Can I do it, God says. Ezekiel, do you believe that I can restore life to the dead? How many of you know you don't have to steal church members? You don't have to steal church members. Because there's thousands upon thousands of people that you can just win to Jesus Christ and invite them to church. Right? Praise the Lord. They're everywhere. 16 years ago, there was a young man named Tony in our church in Colorado. He was attending our church in order to steal away a 17-year-old girl. And my wife said, bless her heart, she said, we were driving home from church one Sunday morning. We had been observing, you know, how he was, you know, wanting to steal her away. He wasn't saved, Tony. And she said, honey, you think that guy Tony will let, you know, he's outside the church smoking cigarettes and real tough guy. And she said, you think that guy will let me get saved? And I said, I don't know, hon. I don't know. That he's, you know, he's just here for Julie. He just wants to steal Julie. She said, yeah, I know. I says, I don't think he'll ever get saved. Oh, me, oh, my, Bob. Not only did he get saved, he became a missionary. For real, they got married, serving God. They got a big family today on the mission field. Oh, dummy me. Oh, me of little faith. She said to me one day, remember Tony? Yeah, honey, I remember. Why? We have to believe that God is able. The testing question, can these bones live? But I see something else this morning, beloved. Notice his thoughtful answer. Look with me at verse 3 again. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that the prophet answered correctly. The prophet answered correctly. Calvinists don't like this verse. Listen carefully. The prophet says, he does not say, yes, they will. Nor does he say, no, they won't. Instead, he says, Lord, you know if they're going to live or not. Beloved, here is a key to winning souls to the Lord. We don't know which ones will accept him, but God does. Amen? Listen, that tells me that every single person I come in contact with is a potential believer in Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? I said every person I come in contact with is a potential trophy of his grace. I don't know if they will or not, but he does. All I have to do is tell them about him. That's as far as it goes. Pray for them, give them the gospel, give them the word, and you've done your job. Amen? The Lord knows whether or not that one will come to salvation. Hyper-Calvinism teaches that certain people cannot be saved. Limited atonement. And therefore, we should not witness to everybody because not everybody is eligible for salvation. This is false doctrine and must be shunned. For only God knows who will and who won't receive his son. Our job is to tell them the truth because what a person... Let me make a statement. Think about this, what I'm about to say. What a person does today not only affects their eternal future, but it affects the past. Hear what I said? I said, if you go out these doors today and you lead a lost soul to Jesus Christ, that affects their future and it also affects the past because God inhabits eternity. Anytime a soul, listen to me, this is, you're going to be a little confused, but think it through. Anytime a soul comes to Jesus Christ like you did, like I did, Jesus in the past writes that name in his book of life. Why? Because he inhabits eternity. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the election is according to God's foreknowledge. Amen? You've got to get that straight. Election is a doctrine of the Bible. But it's only according to God's foreknowledge. That is, he foreknows who will accept his son and who will not. You see? But he doesn't force them either way. Okay? Think about that. Now, something else this morning. Quickly. Observe the remedy prescribed. I got to move. Observe the remedy prescribed. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy, that's preach, upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Time out, church. I got to chuckle here. I was preaching in a church up in Upper State, New York. Preacher was out of town, and he told me, you know, come preach for my church. And I went in there, and I immediately sensed this place is dead. I mean, it meant nothing, man. I mean, death, right? And I said, you know, this is a bunch of dry bones, but I'm going to preach like, you know, I'm going to preach like I always preach. And I let it rip. And they're looking at me like, nobody came to the altar. Nobody said amen. Nobody sang the songs. You know, they're dead, man. Look what he says. And this is what the prophet has to do. I want you to preach to these dead bones. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just what I wanted, you know. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God. unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, it gets good here, beloved, because the remedy prescribed, I love. God is giving Ezekiel the divine remedy for these dead bones to come to life. This great valley of death will become a valley of life if he follows the instructions of the Lord. Listen, this remedy is twofold. First, he must speak to the bones for God. Amen? Look at it. Go with me to verse number 9. I'm sorry, go with me to verse 4. First, he must speak to the bones for God. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know what you need to do? You need to speak to the lost dry bones and tell them, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, we need to speak unto them for God. Why? Because nobody else in the world is going to do it, folks. It's our responsibility to tell them about Jesus. Listen, Ezekiel, preach the word of God to these bones. Paul said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Kind of foolish. You know, we get out and we pound the pulpit and we spit and we all this. But this is what God has chosen. The foolishness of preaching. Glory to God. This is why we preach the word. Because first, he must speak to the bones for God. But secondly, he must speak to God for the bones. Amen? He must secondly speak to God for the bones. Look at verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. What does the wind represent in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Folks, we need to pray and we need to seek God for the bones. First we speak to the bones for God, then we speak to God for the bones. After we give them the word, we pray, Lord, water that word. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Breathe upon these dead bones. Give them newness of life. Give them faith, Lord. Give them the ability to believe the gospel for real and be born again. Oh, beloved, he says, say this, Ezekiel. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Please come and breathe upon these dead ones. Bring salvation and newness of life to these who are dead in sins. Prayer is asking. Supplication is begging. Sometimes we need to get on our face and beg God. Amen? Sometimes we need to combine our prayers with fasting. Ooh, don't mention that word. The church today is, it's a forgotten doctrine of the church. Folks don't want to fast. Brethren, we must pray and pray and pray for those who need Jesus Christ. And we must mean it. Preach and pray. Preach and pray. Why? It's the divine remedy for the dead bones. It's the remedy prescribed. Missionary Dennis Anderson, friend of mine, went to Zambia over 30 years ago. He has seen hundreds of missions churches established and thousands, tens of thousands now, of precious Zambian souls come to Jesus Christ. And the work continues at this day. Why? Because Dennis understood the divine remedy for spiritual death. Preach and pray. Preach and pray. Preach and pray. That's it. And these bones will live if you're obedient, Ezekiel. Something else. Notice the reward for obedience. The reward of obedience. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great
army.
Folks, in closing, I want you to see the reward of obedience. Listen carefully. Matthew Henry, one of my favorite commentators, said, "They that do as they are commanded need not doubt of success, for God will always enrich his own appointments." Amen? Amen. In other words, if God tells you to do something, don't fear. He will cause success to come. Beloved, let's examine the process of this reward for Ezekiel's obedience. First, notice there was a whole lot of shaking going on. Verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking." Oh, I love it. "Even dead and dry bones begin to shake when the word of the Lord is proclaimed." Amen? Folks, listen to me. In the anointed preaching of God's word, where the Holy Spirit moves, there is a shaking that takes place, a stirring in the soul, and things move. Amen? The bones, listen, he's preaching. "Oh, you dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord." And all of a sudden he hears clank, clank, clink, 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 clink. The bones are shaking. Ooh, they're coming together. Why? Because he's preaching the word of the Lord to them. And the power of God is falling on the bones. Listen carefully. When the word of the Lord is proclaimed, there is a divine power that accompanies that word. Secondly, not only was... By the way, before we go to our second point here, you know God knows how to shake people up? Oh yeah. When we give them the gospel, God is going to shake them out of their lethargy. God is going to shake them out of their sin. God is going to shake them up. This is part of our prayer. Lord, do what you need to do to wake that person up. Hey, it might be ugly. It might be a car wreck. It might be a hospitalization. It might be who knows. But you ask God to work in that person's life to bring them to repentance. Amen? And he'll shake them up. Quick. Secondly, not only was a lot of shaking, there was a work of God occurring. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." Now, folks, verse 8 clearly indicates that God's Spirit was preparing these dead bones for new life. You see that? He's adding skin. He's adding sinews. He's adding flesh. They're not alive yet, but God is working on them. Listen, some of you are getting this. God is working, and they're feeling something they've never felt before, other than death. Thirdly, not only was there a work of God occurring, but there was a crying out to God. Verse 9. Look at verse number 9. And he said, "Say to the wind, come, breathe upon these." This is the prophet asking the Holy Spirit to breathe new life into the bones. Amen? That's what we need to do. Holy Spirit, I can give them the word, but I can't convict them of their sin. The Holy Spirit can. And we pray, Holy Spirit, come and work on their heart. Bring them the truth to repentance. Fourthly, not only was it a crying out to God, but they received God's Spirit. Look at verse 10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath," what? "Came into them." Oh, I love this. I love this. New birth occurred because the breath of the Spirit of the living God came into them. Folks, when you give people the word of the Lord, when you give them the gospel, and the Holy Spirit goes to work on them, and they finally open that heart and say, "Yes, yes, Lord, I believe." Boom, the Spirit of the Lord comes into them. That's new birth. That's regeneration. That's being born again. Something else. They had new life. Look at verse 10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they" what? "Lived." They lived. The dead bones lived. They now have something they never had before. They have new life from God. Wow! Now they could walk in newness of life. Now they could glorify Jesus Christ. Why? Because they now had newness of life. Something else. Listen, they began to walk upright. Look at verse 10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet.
Ooh, I like this.
Where were they before when Ezekiel first found them? They were in the dirt. They were down. They were prostrate. They were in the mud of this world. Now they're standing up, upright, walking in the Spirit. You see it? When new life comes into the soul by the Spirit of God, that one begins to live uprightly. I like it. But something else. They became united into one army. Look at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Folks, I want to tell you something. God had a plan for these dead bones. He wanted to make them a force for Jesus Christ. He wanted to make them an army of the Lord. And he did. You know what? You've been listed in the army. Yep, yep, you're a lifer. No retirement in the Lord's army. Amen? No going AWOL. We're in the Lord's army and we're marching according to the beat of his drum. I am so glad. They became an exceeding great army. In closing, let me give you this. A few years ago, true story, deep in the Mojave Desert, the skeleton of a woman was found in the hot sands. In her right hand, she was still grasping a handwritten note, which read, "I am totally exhausted and unable to continue without water. I do not believe that I can last much longer." Signed, "Desperate." She died of thirst and overexposure just half a mile from Surprise Springs, where water flowed in abundance. Folks, listen to me. Beloved, that is exactly how most people die in this world. They're so close to the springs of living water, but they die without him. If that doesn't shock you, I don't know what will. Thinking about the multitudes that are passing into eternity without the living water that will give them life. Dying, spiritually dead, and she became a skeleton of dead bones. Thank you, sister. Wow. I tell you, folks, our God has life from the dead for all those who need it. And Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning so much for Jesus Christ and his word. And Lord, we thank you that we have the divine remedy for spiritual death. It's preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. Giving them the word, praying to you for their souls. Lord, we thank you that there is no magical formula. There is no other plan. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that is it. Lord, either they come by the gospel or they'll never come to heaven. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning, Lord, concerning life from the dead. I thank you, Lord, that these dry bones sadly represent the majority of planet Earth this morning. Lord, we have over 7 billion people in the world today. And I seriously wonder if a billion of them are saved. I don't know. Only you know, Lord. As Ezekiel said, thou knowest. And that's all that matters. But one thing I do know, Lord, the vast majority of people in the world today are like these dead, dry bones. They're dead. They have no life. They're separated from the living God and they don't know Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning, I feel the urgency of the hour. There's not much time. Lord, we're trying to grab some clusters of grapes from the vine before the rapture hits. We're trying to grab some souls and take them with us to heaven. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our endeavors. Lord, we pray that you'd use us for your honor and glory. We pray that you'd give us dead bones to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals this morning. And we will stand for a final closing hymn. Oh, I'm so glad that our God is able. When no one else is able, he's able. Open up your hymnals this morning to 24. Hymn 24. I'm so glad for that heavenly sunlight in which we can walk. And we need to shine that sunlight to all those we come in contact with. We'll stand and we'll sing all three. All three. Let me get the right... we'll get there. Here we go. Yes, indeed. Piano sounds good.
Walking in sunlight, what of my journey? Over the mountains, through the deep grave, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail.
Amen.
Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Shadows around me, shadows above me, never can see. My Savior and guide, He is the light, in Him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to His side.
Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Hallelujah.
Praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight,
Jesus is mine.
Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Oh, praise the Lord. Going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer, and then we're going to have a time of prayer for the girls before they go.
Holy Father, righteous Father, come boldly before Thy throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord God, touch everyone here and their prayer list, Lord God, and all the prayers that came before You a little while ago, Father. We pray Your hand, and Lord God, move strongly. Show us the need in our lives, Father, to speak to these people, these dry bones, Lord God. We pray Your glory. We pray Your sunlight, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.